Broadcasting live from Camelback Ranch, spring training home of the Dodgers.
This team has the chemistry to win the World Championship.
This is Dodger Talk.
Got a good lineup.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Brought to you by 1-800-LOAN-MARK.
Same day cash, 7 days a week.
866-987-2570.
The exclusive home of the Dodgers.
Here's your host, David Vassay.
All right, we are ready to go here live from Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona, with you until 9 o'clock tonight here on Nissan Dodger Talk. Got a big show for you planned tonight. Oral Hershiser and Joe Davis will be making their television broadcast debut of 2017 tomorrow night on Sportsnet LA. The Dodgers will be in Scottsdale taking on the San Francisco Giants, and you could see that on Sportsnet LA with Joe and Oral at 5 o'clock tomorrow night. So they will join us at the same time, simultaneously, a dual interview. Oral Hershiser and Joe Davis will be on at 8:15 tonight. Coming up at 8:30, you'll hear from non-roster minor league invitee Bobby Wilson, an 8-year veteran. Bobby, from what I've observed in camp so far, has caught Kershaw's bullpen, has caught a few of the starting pitchers' bullpen, including Ryu, Kazmir, and Andrew Friedman, and the rest of the Dodger coaching staff has really been listening to what Bobby Wilson has to say after those bullpen sessions. And the pitchers themselves have been noticing some new things that Bobby has pointed out to them. So we're going to get his perspective on not only what he's seen from Kershaw yesterday, but overall from this Dodger pitching staff in spring training. Also, I've been promising our conversation with Dodger second base prospect Willie Calhoun. We'll let you hear that as well around 8:40 tonight. So got a lot for you to hear from tonight, as the Dodgers are definitely in the midst of their spring training Cactus League schedule. Another win for the Dodgers tonight, 14-3 over the Rockies at Salt River Fields today. Andre Ethier homered in his final at-bat, and it was a big day for Ethier in a lot of ways, going back to the same place where he broke his leg last year, where he broke his right leg by fouling a pitch off his shin last year. So he stepped in the same batter's box as he did a year ago. This time, he was able to round the bases because he hit a home run in his final at-bat. We'll let you hear from Andre in just a moment. But other things that took place in that 14-3 win for the Dodgers today: Julio Urias making his Cactus League debut. He was scheduled to go two, but the Dodgers felt that he labored a little bit in that first inning. By no fault of his, Chase Utley bobbled a ball at him, and that would have got Urias out of that first inning with less pitches and maybe less stress in that inning. So he pitched one inning through 14 pitches, and he went to the bullpen after that to throw some more. And after he got taken out of the game, I talked to him, and he said he was very eager to make this start today. He was anxious, was a word that he used to make this start today, because he wanted to get 2017 underway, and he felt like this start marked 2017 for him. I also asked him, too, because pitchers at his age, 20 years old, sometimes start to add different pitches to their repertoire, and he is not. He is trying to just refine and master the pitches he has already. Fastball command, he's trying to get better with the curveball and also his slider. So that's what he's working on this spring training. We've talked about it ad nauseum. The Dodgers are probably going to hold him back for extended spring training. Last year, he threw over 100 innings for the first time in his professional career. The Dodgers are not going to jump him to 200 innings. Dave Roberts has said the most important thing for the Dodgers is to have Julio available in the second half of the season and into the September and hopefully October for the Dodgers. So I think there's a very good chance you see Julio no sooner than May in big league in the major leagues in 2017. That brings us to the Dodger rotation and the way it's shaping out. The way the rotation is set up the next 3 days, Scott Kazmir will make that start tomorrow night at Scottsdale against the Giants. Hyunjin Ryu will pitch on the backfields because they're kind of on the same day, and you want to keep them on some sort of schedule. So when you have that opportunity to have two starting pitchers pitch and start the game, you take it. And that's what Dave Roberts will do tomorrow. Thursday, Clayton Kershaw will make his second Cactus League appearance. He will start that game against the Cleveland Indians, and you can hear it right here on AM 570 LA Sports. Dodgers on Deck begins at 11:30. First pitch at 12:05 with Rick Monday and Ned Colletti, who will be alongside Rick that day. Charlie will be back on Sunday, the next Dodger broadcast after Thursday. Friday, another circumstance where the Dodgers will use two starting pitchers to get work in. The Dodgers have a split squad schedule on Friday. They'll be hosting the Kansas City Royals here at Camelback Ranch. Rich Hill will start that game. The other side of the squad is going back to Salt River Fields to take on the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's where Brandon McCarthy will make his debut in the Cactus League, and that's an important start for him as well, confidence-wise, making his first appearance in any type of game action since the end of last year, where he did have the yips, and he admitted that on Twitter. We talked about it last night. So I really believe these next couple of days are important for two pitchers, maybe three, too. Hyunjin Ryu to see where he's at, but more importantly, mentally, confidence-wise, for Scott Kazmir and Brandon McCarthy. Going back to today's 14-3 win, Scott Van Slyke was on base three times today, and Van Slyke continues to blister the baseball in spring training. He is 100% healthy. You could see how much that right wrist was limiting him the last couple of years. He had surgery on it, and he's back maybe even better than what he was pre-surgery. Andrew Tolles came in relief of Andre Ethier late in the game and had a two-run single. So those were the highlights from today's 14-3 victory over the Colorado Rockies. And Andre Ethier was really the story after Julio Urias today, maybe even more. Because as a player, when you go back to the scene of the crime, so to speak, where you were injured significantly and your season was basically taken away from you late in your career, sometimes there's kind of that mental hurdle to get back in that batter's box in that stadium, albeit in a spring training setting. But Andre Ethier did that, and I asked him whether or not there was any apprehension coming into today's game.
I was just curious, coming back here a year later.
Yeah.
Where you broke your shin, did you have any apprehension?
No apprehensions about it. You know, I definitely thought about it, and it wasn't like a bothersome thinking or anything like that. Just you know, kind of reflecting on, you know, the course of the year and you know, what it's taken to kind of get back to where I'm at right now. And you know, I was talking in the dugout to a few guys about it, and you know, how just. That's one of those freak things, and you know, like I was telling them, the worst part about the whole situation that happened that day was figuring out how to get from the dugout to back to center field, because if you haven't been here to the complex, there's no easy way to get back to the locker room, which is behind the center field wall, and you have a minute and, I don't know, 30 seconds to try to get across the entire field, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to do that in a minute 30 seconds, so sitting there for two, three innings trying to figure out how I was going to get you know, back was probably the most agonizing part about that whole thing. But you know, it's you know, been a wild year, and you know, it's been one where I'm you know, worked hard to get back where I'm at, and you know, a lot more appreciative to you know, these times you get to go out there and play.
I know it's only spring training, but poetic justice that you're able to wait out for your third at bat and then hit your first home run of the spring.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's just going up there and having at bats with a purpose. You know, I'm not just going up there to you know, just drive a ball to the fence or do that. I'm, you know, which is what you want to do at the end. But I'm trying to have to go up there and see a lot of pitches, have quality at bats, trying to do certain things in each at bat. First couple at bats against the lefty there, you know, didn't quite know. You know, hadn't seen it before. Didn't know what, you know, really expect from him. Kind of set my sights, I think, a little too you know, deep, where I was giving away you know, some of my aggressiveness. And second at bat, made an adjustment, just missed the pitch. You know, flew out to center, and then as you can see in the third at bat there, you know, kind of got my timing and distances down, and was able to put the, you know, bat head on. So it's you know, making adjustments from at bat to bat in game that I like to see, you know, for myself, and I think that's what. You know, it's important this time of year, is just you know, how you can adjust and keep going. You're never going to feel good first, second, third, fourth, you know, game of the, you know, of spring. So it's just you know, working through it.
So everything that you just told me, two big victories for you, home run, and also you were able to walk off the field on your own two feet.
Yeah, it was a pleasant jog. It was a pleasant jog out to center, knowing that a year ago I was getting carted off. So I'll take some victory out of being able to jog myself out, and like I said, figure out tomorrow how to keep making adjustments and keep getting better, and figure out how I can help this team win on a day-to-day basis.
Thanks, Andre. Appreciate it.
No problem.
That was Andre Ethier from earlier today when he came out of the game at Salt Rivers Field, and I was happy for him because I know how much he missed the game of baseball last year. He expressed that to me a lot last year, and how much being out for as long as he was made him appreciate what he had more than he did already. And I think you're going to see a very good Andre Ethier this year. You're not going to see a guy that's on his last legs. He still has at least a half a tank left as far as baseball goes. And I certainly don't know if this will be his final spring training with the Dodgers, but I can guarantee you this. I don't think it's his last year playing baseball in the big leagues, because the way he's swinging the bat and hitting the ball in spring training, it's not quite to the level it was a year ago before he broke his leg, but he's getting there, and he's still very productive and a very good professional at bat from him every time up there. And his temper has calmed down, which has made him a better player and a guy that can really self-examine and be the type of player that can come off the bench and give you a quality at bat. And it'll be interesting to see how things play out for him. I believe he should get the lion's share of at-bats against right-handed pitching this year. I don't know if that's going to come all in left field, but if it doesn't, he should get it in right field, that's for sure. Yasiel Puig still, I think, has some growing to do and improvement to make in spring training. It's early, no doubt about it. It's early, but Puig needs to do better, no doubt about it. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. This morning, when I walked into the Dodger clubhouse, there was something very different, and I'll let you know what that was coming up later in the show. But first, next, you'll hear from Oral Hershiser and Joe Davis. Oral's been in uniform the first 3 weeks of camp. He'll finally take that uniform off and put on the sport coat and be ready for the broadcast tomorrow night on Sportsnet LA against the San Francisco Giants in Scottsdale. So you'll hear from Oral and Joe next on AM 570 LA Sports.
This is the home of the Dodgers.
Call us, tweet us, tag us. It's 866-987-2570 or hashtag Dodger Talk.
Welcome back to Nissan Dodger Talk. The Dodgers continuing spring training here, and a man that has been here since the first day and back in uniform, which is always great to see, Oral Hershiser, and also his tag team partner this year in the broadcast booth for 162 or close to, Joe Davis. Guys, great to see you out here together, and I know you guys will be a little bit more dressed up when we see you tomorrow night in Scottsdale against the Giants.
You mean you're not going to wear your Dodgers pullover and your baseball pants?
No, I'm not going to wear that. I think we have a little bit of a dress code we've agreed upon. I think down here, what, we're going to go sport coat, open collar?
We actually haven't talked about that, but that's what I was planning.
That's what I brought.
That's what I brought, too.
All right. Well, you're not going to wear your Pac-12 championship pullover, and Oral's not going to wear his Dodger windbreaker on the air tomorrow night?
No, we're going to be a little more dressed. I think we're going to carry a few more pieces of paper and get ready to bring some fun Dodger baseball to the fans.
Joe, how excited are you not only to be able to broadcast close to a full schedule this year, but also to have a guy like Oral Hershiser be right next to you?
I've told you, Dave, for me, the best part of this job so far, the reason that I've enjoyed it so much, has been because of him.
Yeah.
So, and his wife, Dana, and the way she's made my wife, Libby, feel welcome. We were so lucky to have them, and especially with the nature of a baseball season and that it is every day, if you don't love the people that you're with, and you know this, I mean, being a part of it on an everyday basis, if you don't love the people you're with, it's not going to be easy to get through a season like that. If you can tolerate them, you can get through it. If you love them, you're going to have a lot of fun, and we're lucky that we're pretty tight.
Yeah, it's going to come across on the air, too, because, you know, we're going to be able to kind of poke fun at each other. Also, really, you know, people are going to know that those two are having fun covering the game, and they're going to have fun right along with us. So, you know, that kind of stuff that was taught to me, of course, by my parents, and Joe and Libby had great parents also, so they turn that right around at us and give us an awful lot of love. And it's going to be a fun, fun year, and hopefully a fun, fun long run.
Speaking of fun and having some ammo, Joe Davis has some ammo already for you, Oral, I think, tomorrow night, since you were milking this so-called hamstring injury for a few days. Right, Joe?
Yeah, how's that doing? You recovering?
It's the most famous hamstring of any spring training invited instructor ever, and I think we probably should create its own Facebook page.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It should be named.
Oral's Hammy.
Yeah, Oral's Hammy, yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Oralshammy.com. Don't spell any of those words wrong. I think you could get some hairy sights in there.
Joe, you should have seen this guy, the way he was really exaggerating that limp the first day, and then all of a sudden, miracles upon miracles. Yeah, you know, you were able to bounce back the very next day.
That's exactly what it is. You see from guys sometimes, like, you know, they'll get hurt mid-game and they wince and everything, and you're like, oh my gosh, can they come back? And then they do, and it's like they've forgotten the injury happened, but then they're the hero.
Yeah, and you know, I've been in the training room maybe no times. I didn't want to be like on the gurney next to Corey Seager or Adrian Gonzalez or anybody like that. So I've stayed out of the training room, and I've gone old school. I've sucked it up.
Yeah. Oral, has it given you a different perspective on this team to be able to translate to the viewers on Sportsnet LA, not only tomorrow night, but throughout the season, being in the role that you've been in thus far this spring training?
Yeah, the experience of just being around the players, being invited into a lot of the meetings that the media is not allowed to see how Dave Roberts runs the club, to see how Andrew Friedman runs some of his meetings, how they analyze the team, the players, all the different things that go into it. And it's not just about statistics. It's about the person. It's about where they are in life. It's about what their experience was in the offseason, and now how are they coming into camp. So there's a lot more depth about understanding the people of the Dodger organization just as much as there is the baseball side of it.
Joe, when you hear what he just said about having kind of an inside peek into what's going on, how does that change you from the way you treat him and the things you might bring up on the broadcast?
I think we're lucky just from a baseline to begin with that the Dodgers treat us so well as a broadcast team. You know, you talk to people around the league, I don't think anybody gets treated poorly, but the access we get is tremendous to begin with. And when you add now Oral's perspective of having been there on an everyday basis, wearing the uniform, being in the meetings, it just takes it to another level that is going to allow us to tell these guys' stories and to tell the team stories. And ultimately, that's our job, to give fans access into places that they can't go. So the fact that we get to get in as deeply as we can, even without Oral's access, is great. And you add that on top of it, I think it'll be unmatched.
We're not like the national media. You know, we're on the team bus. Yeah. We're allowed to go and eat with the team in the locker room if we want, or grab a snack, hang out in the locker room, even sometimes when the media credential people are not allowed, because we're actually with the Dodgers all the time. So the hotel bar, going to dinner with players, it's a completely different relationship. Even in from when I played, there was a little more distance between media. Well, just because there's the plane's bigger now, you know. Yeah. The hotels are nicer, the access is a little bit freer. You know, they had to actually, you know, petition to get to have certain areas for the media to be. And of course you went through generations of closeness, but you also went through some generations of actually where there's a little more separation.
Oral Hershiser and Joe Davis are our guests, and I guess we have to address the elephant in the room. You guys are not replacing Vin Scully. This is just a new broadcast for the Dodgers, but have you guys let it enter your mind that you will be walking into the same booth that he occupied for so many years since the Dodgers were here in Los Angeles? What will that be like for both of you?
Sure, I think you have to acknowledge and appreciate that, and I think that's part of what makes these roles as special as they are. But at the same time, if you're looking at it as trying to replace Vin, you got no shot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're not replacing Vin. Nobody's ever replacing Vin. We're just going to try and do the best show that we know we can and try to be ourselves with what Vin has done and the legacy that he's established in mind, and try to set a high bar for ourselves, but in no way compare ourselves to Vin, because that's setting yourself up for pretty bad failure.
Yeah.
One of the lessons that Vin has taught me and taught Joe is one of the best things that you can bring into the booth is yourself. Mm-hmm. So we can't bring Vin back, and we can't come in there and try and mimic him. And I really realized that in this spring training, putting on the uniform again, to think that Roy Campanella and Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale and Johnny Padres were the guys dressed up like I am now that were teaching me. And I've come full circle. And now the circle is continuing with even in the broadcast side of things. And it's with great respect, with great humility that you continue to work that hard because of the people that came before you.
Oral, after 1988, there were a lot of parallels between yourself and Don Drysdale with the streak. You're kind of following a little bit more in Drysdale's footsteps by going into the broadcast booth. How much does that mean to you? Because you saw him in that vein when he was a broadcaster after everything he did and accomplished in his career.
Yeah, he was a hero of mine, and then he became a mentor of mine as a broadcaster and a Dodger and around the whole time. He was so gracious when I broke his streak. To be there and to be in the post-game interview and to treat me like I was his son, and was so proud that it was still in the family, that it was in the Dodger family. And so it's an amazing responsibility. It's like a curator of a museum, mm-hmm. that you absolutely love what you're doing. You love the people. You love the objects and everything you get access to. And you just feel like you're not living a dream, but it's a responsible work environment that you just completely soak in and just take every step and every day and be glad that you get to walk inside the ropes and be part of this.
Can you express to us what it meant to you to be asked to be a pitching instructor this spring? Because like you mentioned, so many great Dodgers have put on the uniform in the same role that you have this spring. Was that more impactful for you, knowing that you're paying it forward, or actually knowing that they value all the knowledge that you have pitching-wise?
Well, this is pitching is a huge part of the Dodger organization. It's been passed on from one generation to the next, starting, let's go all the way back to Red Adams and Sandy Koufax and then Ron Peranowski and Dave Wallace and all Don Drysdale. It's just kind of that knowledge of how to stand on the rubber, how to leave the rubber with leverage, how to hold the baseball and how to make a correct throw, not even a correct pitch, but a throw, to throw an object correctly so that you can do it for a long time accurately and then with movement. And so what I'm teaching or what I am giving and imparting to people is nothing of mine. It's the information was given to me, and I used it throughout my career, and now I'm getting to give it back. And Rick Honeycutt is in the middle of that whole string of knowledge. We're on the same page. And Rick, knowing that he was my teammate, my catch buddy, the guy that we grinded mechanics as we are active players, he knows we're on the same page, so it was a very easy transition.
Joe, when you hear what Oral talks about the history of the organization, you having a great sense of history in all sports, how much does that impact you, knowing that you're kind of the soundtrack now to what's next?
Yeah, it is one of the things that makes the job special, with the history the organization has. And it was one of the things that I knew for me to be good at this job, I needed to fully embrace. So as soon as I was hired last season, I read everything I could get my hands on. But I think that can only take you so far. You've got to talk to people that have lived it. I get to talk to Oral every day. You walk around the facility here, you see Maury Wills, see Eric Gagne, guys, pieces of the Dodger history from different eras that I can speak to and get those stories from people that lived it firsthand. So I'm constantly trying to accumulate pieces of this history, and then over time I'm going to live some of the history. Yeah. I'll be able to tell stories about 2016 like I was there, because I was.
Joe, Oral, thanks a lot for the time, and we can't wait to see you in your 2017 debut of this version of the Dodger television broadcast team. Thanks a lot for the time, and we'll see you tomorrow night in Scottsdale.
We look forward to it, and we will be with Alana also, and she'll be down there gathering those stories.
Yeah, that's right. Alana Rizzo will join Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser tomorrow night at 5 o'clock on Sportsnet LA. Love talking to, obviously, both of those guys. Oral, he was one of my favorite players when I was growing up, and Joe Davis is such a great guy. I think the likability of Joe is definitely going to come through, and I think that's
a very important factor when you're doing the television or radio medium. You have to be able to be likable, and I think people are going to like Joe. And I know last year he had a limited schedule, but he's going to be more exposed to more people this year, doing close to 162 games. He still has his commitments for the game of the week on Fox Sports, but you're going to be seeing a lot of Joe and Oral and Alana on Sportsnet LA this year, and it's going to be fun. Also, too, I mentioned before we started this interview with Oral and Joe that the Dodger clubhouse was certainly different this morning than it was when we left yesterday. In case you did not see Adrian Gonzalez's Instagram video, when we walked into the clubhouse, players were not playing ping pong because the ping pong table was replaced by a pool table. And Adrian Gonzalez was the prankster that did that. Now, we all know how much Clayton Kershaw loves ping pong. He's created a tournament in the clubhouse every spring each of the last 5 years. He started a charity, Ping Pong for Purpose. And Adrian Gonzalez thought it would be funny to play a little prank on Kershaw and remove the ping pong table and bring in that pool table. If you want to know the reaction of Kershaw, it was a little bit less than thrilled. I'll put it that way. But he'll get over it. Ping pong table's back. Pool table, I think, is staying too. So they could have the best of both worlds. But that's Adrian. That's Adrian's humor. And everybody got the joke, for sure. Anyway, when we come back, you'll hear from Bobby Wilson, the 8-year catching veteran who has spent 5 years with the Angels. He was last year with the Tampa Bay Rays. He's in camp on a minor league deal, and his strength is receiving and understanding and cultivating relationships with pitchers. You'll hear his thoughts on the Dodger pitching staff thus far in spring training, and also you'll hear from Dodger second base prospect Willie Calhoun. Yes, we'll finally hear from Willie, so stay where you are. There's more Nissan Dodger talk next, live from Camelback Ranch on AM 570 LA Sports.
This is the home of the Dodgers.
Call us, tweet us, tag us. It's 866-987-2570 or hashtag Dodger Talk.
This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Bassay live at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona, where it has stopped raining. When we were doing the show last night, it was coming down pretty hard, and it stayed pretty rainy up until this morning around 10, 11 o'clock local time, and then continued to pour around noon. And the Dodgers game today at Salt Rivers Field was delayed about 30 minutes. So locally, this first pitch was supposed to be at 1:05. It ended up being at 1:30, and rain never came back. So the Dodgers and Rockies were able to play that game today, and the Dodgers took advantage, beating them 14-3. Julio Urias had a one inning of work today, 14 pitches, plus some side in the bullpen. Andre Ethier hit a home run today, his first of spring training, ironically at the same place where he broke his right shin a year ago in spring training. So a good day for Andre Ethier. In case you missed that interview with Andre after he came out of the game, you could podcast that at am570lasports.com. Thanks to Oral Hershiser and Joe Davis for their time earlier today. If you missed that interview, you could podcast that as well at am570lasports.com. Oral and Joe will be on the call tomorrow night for the first time in 2017 from Scottsdale when the Dodgers travel to take on the San Francisco Giants. It will be televised on Sportsnet LA at 5 o'clock. Our next radio broadcast will be the day after tomorrow on Thursday. Clayton Kershaw will be on the mound for the second time this spring. He will be facing the Cleveland Indians here at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. Dodgers on deck will begin at 11:30. First pitch will be at 12:05, and later that night on Thursday, we will have Nissan Dodger Talk for the final time this week at 7 o'clock. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. A lot of the players are leaving on Monday to report to their World Baseball Classic teams, countries, to begin workouts in preparation for their first game, which is supposed to be, I believe, on March 6th. But by the end of that tournament, the games will be at Dodger Stadium. The semis and the finals will be held beginning on March 20th at Dodger Stadium. And you can get tickets at Dodgers.com/WBC. Joe Blanton, in case you missed that news, the former Dodger who was outstanding for them coming out of the bullpen, signed with the Washington Nationals today, so he will possibly be coming back to haunt the Dodgers. We'll see how much he has left. The Dodgers obviously used Joe quite a bit last year, and I think it took its toll in the NLCS, but without Joe Blanton, the Dodgers don't win the NL West, I can guarantee you that. He came out of nowhere. He was signed to be a long man. He turns out to be the most reliable relief pitcher in late innings, high leverage situations, and he was outstanding. But I really don't have an issue with the Dodgers saying goodbye to him. I know from what Dave Roberts was saying today when he found out the news, it sounded like the Dodgers were trying to make a deal happen with Joe during the offseason, but it never materialized. So we'll see how that plays out with the Nationals, who don't have a proven closer. They're going in-house with a closer after they failed to re-sign Mark Melancon and failed to sign Kenley Jansen away from the Dodgers and could not consummate a trade with the Chicago White Sox for David Robertson. It looks like they're going in-house with a young right-hander named Sean Kelly. So that's your Washington Nationals baseball update. And I think it bears giving you an update on the Dodgers competition in the National League. The Nationals are still the favorites to win the NL East. The Cubs, obviously, in the NL Central. And the Dodgers are the favorites in the NL West. Interesting story developing here in camp. And it revolves around a veteran catcher by the name of Bobby Wilson. He's been in the big leagues for 8 years. Light hitting catcher, career batting average of .214, on base .268, slugging .319. But what Bobby is best known for is defense. He's a really good receiver. He understands how to really pay attention to detail, really understanding his pitchers. And I wanted to pick his brain and share that with you tonight because I've noticed and observed that a lot of pitchers are going to him for advice and bouncing things off of him. And I've also noticed after he's done catching bullpen sessions or live batting practice from pitchers, Andrew Friedman is talking to him and getting his feedback on what he saw. So here's my conversation with Bobby Wilson and what he's seen so far from the Dodger pitching staff, including Clayton Kershaw. Bobby caught his bullpen yesterday.
There's a lot of good arms. You can see that, from the get-go. And there's a willingness to win and compete and be the best that they can be, which is a refreshing to see that as good as, your Clayton Kershaws are and your Brandon McCarthy's and Kazmir's and Rich Hill's, they're in here working to be even better, which is really nice to see, and it gets everybody else excited to get to work.
Yesterday you had a chance to catch Kershaw's bullpen session. What was that like for you, and was it more impressive doing that than just watching him do it from afar?
Yeah, like I said, I've seen him do it from afar a lot, and it's always impressive every time you see him step on the mound. Now it's a matter of getting to know him and what he likes to do and how he likes to do it. And trying to help him build off the success that he's already have with stuff that I've learned in my past, from elite pitchers. Obviously none of them, with the title as the greatest pitcher on the planet, but, definitely been around enough to pick up some things. And we talked about, I bounced a couple things off him yesterday that, maybe he'll use, maybe he won't, but at least he knows that, that I will give him, the feedback and input he needs.
He was upset with himself after one changeup in that first inning, and he's been trying to cultivate this changeup for the last four or five springs. Did you see any of those yesterday, and is there anything that you can help him with as far as that goes?
I think it's just him having the confidence to throw it, really. It's not a matter of how he's thrown it or the speed or or the mechanics of it. It's just the confidence that he's going to have to feel to be able to throw it, you know, because he hasn't used it. He's had so much success with his other three pitches that, you know, it can be tough for guys to sometimes mix in another pitch when you've had that much success. So I think it's just the confidence of him being able to do it in the game. And you know, if that guy gets another, you know, another club in his bag, he's going to be even more elite.
Bobby, not only with Kershaw, but I've observed you with other pitchers where you feel confident enough after catching them just for this short period of time to give them tips. Where does that come from, and where did you gain all this knowledge to really understand where a pitcher's coming from?
Well, for me, like you said, catching him one time. But for me, I've already watched hours and hours of video on all these guys starting from the day that I signed. So I knew exactly how these guys like to pitch. So it's not a matter of seeing them, you know, the first time catching them. You know, I've seen video on them and understand what they're trying to do. And now it's, you know, with past experiences, how can I get them better? How can I show them that I care and I want them to do well? And just kind of progressing that way each and every day.
When you played for the Angels, how big of an impact did Mike Scioscia have on your career as far as defensively and receiving as a catcher?
It was a huge impact. I mean, his attention to detail helped me grow throughout my career, and that attention to detail, I feel, has kept me in the game this long. I'm always very grateful for Mike and what
Shut
he's
up,
done.
So, no one listens to your show anyway.
I'm very excited about it. So he's helped me a lot, and I can't thank him enough.
That was Bobby Wilson with a cameo from Justin Turner, who was jealous I was talking to somebody else. So that is my life in the clubhouse. You got to be on your toes at all times. And that was a great answer by Bobby Wilson. I thought very thoughtful answers. And I was impressed that before he even got to camp, he said he's watched hours and hours of video on all these Dodger pitchers. That shows a commitment from him, not only to want to make this club, but also you can understand now why Andrew Friedman and the rest of these pitchers, after just one session, bullpen session, one live batting practice, are getting the kind of feedback they're getting from Bobby Wilson and trusting what he has to say. So I was very impressed with everything Bobby had to say. And even as Justin was trying to interrupt our interview there, I thought it was great how Bobby Wilson credits Mike Scioscia for his staying power in the big leagues, despite being a light hitter. But like you said, that attention to detail as a catcher and really just being there for the pitcher is something that Mike Scioscia emphasized to him, and that's why he's been able to stay in the big leagues for 8 seasons. And we'll see where he falls in the Dodgers' plans, whether or not he goes to Oklahoma City, whether or not the Dodgers keep him as the backup catcher and let Austin Barnes get more reps in the minor leagues. But it seems like it's Austin's job to lose as Yasmani Grandal's backup catcher. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. All right, I made you wait long enough for Willie Calhoun. I promised him last Tuesday. I am finally getting to him right now. The Dodgers' top second base prospect has not gotten into a game right now yet. But Dave Roberts said he's working on his conditioning, working on the backfields with Chris Woodward to improve defensively at second base. And here's young Willie in his first big league camp.
Obviously, it feels really good just being around all the big leaguers out here and just see how they go about their day. You learn something new every day, and just being around all these wonderful men, it's humbling and it's a blessing.
One guy that you already know pretty well is Jock Peterson. You guys are from the same area, unfortunately Northern California for everybody in L.A., but how much has he helped you not only at the start of this camp, but in your young career with the Dodgers?
He's helped me out a lot, man. He's like a mentor that I really look up to, and just a great dude. He's someone that always checks in on me and calls, gives me a call and see how I'm doing and everything, and just really teaching me the ropes and coming up through the minors. And he's just been a great guy and a great big brother.
How much has he helped you as far as be prepared for your first big league camp?
He's helped me a lot. He called me a lot this offseason and checked in on me and see how I was doing and see what I was doing to get ready. And still to this day, he's still helping me out a lot and really just walking me through everything. So it's good to have a guy like that in your corner.
Willie Calhoun is our guest, and I always tell young guys it's always great to see you in person because all you hear is your name, top prospect, and a picture on a website. So when you hear people talk about you, how do you handle that and not allow yourself to get caught up in the social media, the internet hype of what you've done to this point?
Just try to like stay humble about it and just say to myself and just always continue to work hard.
Yeah. So, I mean, we hear about how well you can hit. Where did you learn to do that? Is there somebody that helped you, steer you in this direction?
I'd say my father, as a young age, he always helped me. Like, he always put a heavier bat in my hands, which to have me create faster hands, and always swinging a heavy bat in training, which really helped me to this day, and I still do it. So I'm going to continue to do that until I keep on going along with my career.
Did you have a favorite player growing up?
Yeah, my favorite player was Barry Bonds, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, growing up near San Francisco, I went to a lot of the games, and obviously when you see a guy that always hitting home runs, as someone to cheer for all the time. So, I mean, he was someone that I always wanted to hit like, and I'm going to continue. Like, I still think he's the best hitter, so I want to continue to strive and push for that.
Did you hear about how he big-time Jock last year?
Yeah, I did.
Have you ever met Barry?
No, I haven't actually, like, personally, like, met him, but I've always, I've seen him around a few times, so, I mean, that's good. I haven't, like, personally just went up to him and introduced myself to him.
Willie Calhoun is our guest. Now, before I let you go, I hear a lot of different things as far as your position on the field. Played a lot of second base last year for AA Tulsa. What do you feel you have to do to stay there, or is there another position that you feel that maybe you're more comfortable at?
Stay at second. I'm going to continue to work hard with Woody and the guys here. I mean, it's a great coaching staff, and they're super positive. So I'm going to hang with them there and just continue to work hard at that position because I want to stick there.
What's the biggest key you think they've told you to this point? I know you haven't played in a game yet, but what's the biggest key to being a better second baseman or being a good infielder?
Yeah, just being able to have more range is something I'm really focusing on this spring training, and that's something I'm going to try to get better with, and that's something I'm going to get better with. So, yeah, being able to have more range is something that I'm going to work on a lot this spring training.
So I can't wait to see you rake.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
That's one thing he can do is rake, and that's Willie Calhoun, and that's why he's been so successful in the Dodger minor league system, and that's why he got his first invite to big league camp this year. And Dave Roberts actually was asked about Willie earlier today, and he basically said the reason why he hasn't been in any games is because he's doing so much work on the backfields that would make it an extremely long day to do all the work he's doing as far as conditioning goes, improving the defense, and then playing in a game. The Dodgers are just trying to give him a routine, get him on a routine to improve his body, to mature his body, and to get better defensively at second base. So down the line, we'll see him in a game, but I don't think in the foreseeable future you will in a Cactus League game. The Dodgers just want him to mature his body and his mind as a player if he's going to take that next step in the organization. That'll do it for Nissan Dodger Talk tonight. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio for all his help. Thanks to Andre Ethier, Oral Hershiser, Joe Davis, Bobby Wilson, and Willie Calhoun. They were all on the show tonight. In case you missed any of it, go to am570lasports.com, the podcast, tonight or any other Dodger Talk show. We'll be back with you on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Clayton Kershaw will be on the mound Thursday afternoon, and you could hear that right here on AM570 LA Sports. Our coverage begins with Dodgers on Deck at 11:30. Have a great night, everybody. See ya!